What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, June 20th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pure one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Welcome to the new show.
I'm excited about this. Look at this beautiful set.
It's a very beautiful set.
Big
it's
fan.
Very good stuff. You worked hard on this.
Andy we
worked
did.
Hard on
we
this.
Did.
Nick worked hard on this.
Producing going on.
A lot of producing going on. Of course, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, everyone watching this right now. Of course, we live stream it as we record it on Twitch. We don't look at anything about it, though. It goes up later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. And then it also goes up on podcast services around the globe. Yesterday was phenomenal. It was an incredible day, Tim.
It was.
I couldn't get over the support we had. You know, obviously, getting to the top for an iTunes podcast, beating Car Talk is always exciting.
Always.
Because it happens so rarely. Mm-hmm. To see Kinda Funny Games Daily up there at number one, but then also to see the morning show and the Kinda Funny Games cast in the top 10 with it. I've never seen that before for when we've done this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's super awesome.
All of our shows.
What's also interesting is that the morning show is under Games and Hobbies, because before it was under Comedy.
Well, this is a hobby now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
I guess
somebody finally listened and was like, this doesn't belong here at all.
This isn't funny at all.
Of course, if you're just joining us for the first time, keep in mind there are multiple rotating hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm producing the show. I keep calling it my show. What that means is that I'm producing it, laying out the groundwork for it, making it the show I want it to be. But there'll be days, obviously, where it is Andrea and Danny. Danny's off, of course, in the UK. A terrible hire. That we hired him and then he just immediately ran away. Andrew will be back tomorrow. She'll be doing this. Tim will be on. Andy will be on. We'll mix it all up as we go out through it and stuff. But the idea, of course, of Kinda Funny Games Daily is taking that day's news, the announcements, the games, everything that's happening, and then giving you insight into it, deep dive conversations, all that awesome stuff. Remember, if you could, it'd be awesome if you could continue to go to iTunes, rate us there, subscribe to us there, even if you don't plan to listen there. Of course, please subscribe to us on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Of course, please subscribe to us on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where today, if you give us a dollar, not only can you get Party Mode Early Access, which is our first one, Star Trek Bridge Crew. This didn't matter for today at all. Thursday, you'll be able to watch us do the Games Cast Live, which I'm excited to announce.
Yes.
We did this survey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who do people want to see? It was the community survey. What's going on? What do you like? What guests do you want? What guests do you like? People kept saying Giant Bomb, Giant Bomb, Giant Bomb. I'm excited to announce, and this could change because I haven't checked my DMs in a while, Thursday will be Giant Bomb's Jeff Gerstmann and Alex Navarro.
Double whammy.
A double whammy right there for
you. Very excited for this.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to say congrats, Greg. You are killing it on all of this.
Yeah.
We've been working behind the scenes for a long time in it all.
Sure.
But now to see it all come together, it's like, yeah, this is what we're capable of.
Well, yesterday was a great example of it, you know what I mean? Like, of doing the show with Andrea and finishing it, and people were like, that was amazing. And I was like, I love doing that kind of podcast. I love all the podcasts we do, right? But when it is something like this, where I can sit down and tell you, all right, these are the biggest stories I want to talk about today. And we've talked about this before, you know, the Games Daily, it has the DNA of PS I Love You. It has the DNA of Beyond. The exciting thing is we get to do other things with it and do it. Like, I'm still a PlayStation guy. You're still a Nintendo guy. They'll still be playing to those strengths. Tuesday shows are obviously going to be PlayStation focused. It just so happens there's a lot of PlayStation news today. The drop in terms of what's coming to PSN's great today. There's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. So, Tim, I want to get right to it.
Let's get to it.
Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Wow, it was worse than yesterday somehow, Kev. But I appreciate it.
It does sound like a turkey.
It does. That one definitely sounded like a turkey. I guess he's just never heard the news ticker thing I'm thinking of. You know what I mean? That's all I got to do. And you go gobble, gobble, gobble over there. I don't know why that's up.
Man.
Eventually, we want to have transitions and things like that. And like,
we'll get them.
And then when we do that, I'll just do my own do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
I don't need this crap anymore.
I appreciate that.
Top story on the Roper Report today. Oh, hold on. Hold on a second. One, two, three. There are three items on the Roper's report today.
A baker's dozen.
Somebody called me out on Reddit for not doing that yesterday. Maybe Twitter.
I've never done it. This is my first time getting the opportunity.
And I was like, damn, that is something I missed. You're right. I'll try to keep all the little shenanigans in there. Top story on the Roper report today is that the NPD for April is out. I took IGN's breakdown of it. Have you looked ahead? You also have the show printed out. Okay. An interesting breakdown as always. So these are the top 10 games for April, all right? And there's a bunch of caveats I'll get to at the end. But number one, Injustice 2. Number two, Mario Kart 8. Number three, Grand Theft Auto 5 back on there. Number four, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Number five, Prey 2017. Number six, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands, which I'm still surprised is hanging in there.
It's just been there.
It gets more interesting coming up. Number seven, Fire Emblem's Echo, Shadow of Valentina.
Mm-hmm.
I got that. Number eight, NBA 2K17. Number 9, MLB 17, The Show. Number 10, Overwatch. Now, let me get into these caveats, of course.
Valencia.
And as we start getting into this, of course, remember, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said before, we record the show live, but don't look at your comments and stuff because this is, you know, designed to be an in-depth podcast. However, if we get something wrong during the live broadcast, you have to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Go there, put in just the fact of what we got wrong so you can be our stat boy, keep us honest at the end of it.
Now, see, we should also make sure that we have kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong spelled incorrectly, the wrong you're.
We have you, sure we have the U-R-E, and then we have U-A-R-E.
Going to the same place?
Yeah. Okay. If you do you are with just the letter R, I can't help you. You know, yeah.
You're done.
What we should do is record a special video where I berate them for
that. That's what I'm saying. I feel like they deserve that.
We can do that. Here are the caveats, though, for the top 10 I just read you. Of the games, and this is all from IGN, by the way, of the games making the top 10, Mario Kart 8, Breath of the Wild, Prey, Fire Emblem, and Overwatch did not include data for digital sales. Overall, software dollar sales in May 2017 fell 20%. According to NPD, due to the release 1 year ago, oh, and this is May, not April, so there isn't a correction right there, I guess. Right? That makes sense. Oops. Because it's now June, so that makes sense.
I don't know.
I put April at the top there. I do believe this would be May then.
Got it. See? Yes, that makes a lot more sense.
So there you go. That's one correction you don't need to put in there. Don't do that. Overall, software dollar sales in May 2017 fell 20%, according to NPD, due to the release 1 year ago of both Uncharted 4 and Doom.
Overwatch last year.
Well, yeah, but Overwatch is here, so it's still making a big deal.
Well, it's still making a big deal, but I'm saying like it makes sense that this year's overall numbers are down because they don't.
Well, as those are bigger releases, right?
I mean, it's interesting seeing Injustice 2 at the top. Like, I know that that's a big game, and it was the biggest game to come out this month.
Yeah,
but it still kind of shocks me to see it at the top that high. Because it feels like it's a bit more of a niche game.
Yeah, 100% with you. I agree with you. I often forget what a big deal Injustice is and how I think that caught both WB, it caught NetherRealms. I think it caught them all off guard what they were getting into. Because for me, being a DC comic fan, right? Like, when they did Mortal Kombat versus DC, I was like, all right. And I played through it. I was like, that was fun and goofy and stupid, but whatever. And that didn't make waves. But then to take the Mortal Kombat engine that they had redesigned and do all that, put these heroes in, I don't think they expected Injustice 1 to be the hit it was. I think it definitely helps the fact that, if we're looking at it from a broad pop culture standpoint, the fact that Injustice, the comic book series, was so good. Like, that's the whole thing. Is Injustice by Tom Taylor, the original series, and now year two, have no business being as good as they are. Like, anytime, you remember what video game tie-ins were like. It's just like, all right, these are throwaways. Nobody wants
disasters. But that was like one of the best DC comics going on at the time. 100%. I remember when you did the interview back at IGN, it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's the idea that, you know, the fact that they get to take chances on it. And that's what I love to see with Injustice. And you wonder, too, if it's something to do with the fact that obviously superheroes are more popular than ever, but you do see it now where, like, they've been promoting Injustice 2 so much with Supergirl, right? Mm-hmm. Because Supergirl has a TV show, assume. You can trace it back that way.
Yeah, the whole thing's interesting with the Injustice kind of legacy, because going back to it with the Marvel versus Capcom, back in the day, knocking it out of the park, and then now seeing where Infinite's at, and it's kind of like, ooh, this is not looking too hot. Like, for me, obviously, I'm a Marvel guy, and I'm also a Capcom fighter guy. I'm not a Mortal Kombat guy, not a DC guy.
Sure.
But then looking at Injustice, and especially Injustice 2, it's like, man, this looks amazing. Like, the level of graphics that they got in that game are just unreal. And then just compare it to Marvel's Capcom Infinite, it's like,
everybody's this, like, what is wrong with Chun-Li?
It looks rushed, it looks budget, and it looks like there's a problem. And it says a lot about how there's for Capcom to just kind of be like, all right, this is what we're going to do and not try to prove something. They're not going to be on the top 10 in this way. I don't think. I think Injustice really did a good job. And I think that it's there because DC, for all of its faults for how it's handled its movies, I think it has done a good job with really focusing on making this game good and making the Injustice world something that matters. And Injustice is even a weird thing to name a DC fighting game. Yeah. So, well, congrats to them.
I mean, what's also interesting about Injustice 2 in particular is the fact that everyone talks about how great the story is. And I talked to so many people who are like, have you played it yet? And it's on my queue. I just haven't got it because Friday the 13th is so good, which I'll get to in a bit.
Of course you will.
But it's on the thing there. I see it on my crossbar and I haven't gotten to, but everyone who's like, I hate fighting games, but I play this for the story. Like, that's awesome that, like, you've seen a game progress and push what a fighter is in terms of, hey, non-fighting game fans, here's a reason to care. Here is a reason to get in there and get. You're never going to be able to be competitive. You're not going to be able to go online and do anything, mm-hmm. but you can play through this and actually have a great story.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think that story modes in fighting games are kind of a lost art at this point. Yeah. And so for them to focus on that, I think that shows where their success comes from. Because not only is there a story and characters that people care about and matter, there's also a bunch of characters people don't care about and they make you care. And that's yeah. what's interesting. And I just, the level of detail in the graphics, they put so much care into it where it reminds me of how Naughty Dog games make me feel, and where I'm like, oh man, like I'm gonna care extra because you care extra.
Sure. I mean, I don't think it's coincidence, you know, that I like Harley Quinn more now, and I think you traces back, it's because of the way Tom Taylor, you know, has portrayed her in Injustice, you know what I mean? And the way they let that, this is always plays to my argument, and I know this is a games podcast, of the fact that comics should blow up continuity. You should let creators who want have a cool story to tell go tell a cool story. And Injustice's story starts, at least in number one, right, with Superman murdering Joker after he accidentally kills Lois Lane, like, and blows up Metropolis. Like, that's a great idea. What would happen, and where would we go with that? Here's some more interesting stuff for you, all right? Mm-hmm. So far, the two best-selling games for 2017 are still Ubisoft's Ghost Recon Wildlands and For Honor, with Breath of the Wild coming in at third. Man. For Honor.
Yeah.
Wildlands. That's insane. Because here's the thing about both those games is the fact that Wildlands, last year we played at E3 and we're like, wow, this is really cool. We did the one Let's Play, that's cool. Mm-hmm. When we got it and we played it, Kevin always argues with me that he really enjoyed it. I thought, okay, this is kind of empty and it's not what I want. And I think it's maybe because I'm spoiled with how much I like The Division, how much I love the setting of The Division. For Honor, when I played that and screwed around with that, I was like, all right, this is cool, but it's not for me, blah, blah, blah. There are games that I don't hear people talking about a lot, but apparently, and I don't hear them talking about it in the way of, I'm not praising either of those games, but I also don't hear people saying, man, I got screwed over on buying that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this kind of just says a lot about where games are in 2017, where there are games like the Dotas and the Minecrafts and the League of Legends of the world that there are millions and millions of people out there playing every day, but we don't hear about it because it's not in our circle.
Yeah.
And I think that they're like, these games are perfect examples of, like, I think people would always talk about the, oh, you're a Halo Madden bro shooter guy.
Sure.
I think that these are the new casual games. For casual games, that,
yeah, I was gonna say
for
hardcore players.
For hardcore players, yeah, not casual.
Well,
this
always goes
sense.
Back to the argument Colin would talk about, and the fact of, it's all right, cool, Destiny, all right, cool, Division. How many of these games can coexist? And you see it here, I guess, where the For Honor community is the For Honor community, yeah. And the Wildlands community is the Wildlands community. They're
I mean,
not
even
casual
further
gamers.
Than that, how many of these games can coexist within the same publisher,
yeah,
and developer?
The, yeah,
like
yeah.
that's insane. But I mean, obviously, they're finding success with it, and looking at Ubisoft Slate that they announced at E3, like they're doubling down on that type of stuff. And they're obviously seeing success with it. I don't know. I mean, I don't like it because I'm much more of a single player guy, but I think maybe we're dying breeds when it comes to that.
But I think that you can change, you can adapt, right? Like the fact that The Division was a game that I fell in love with, platinumed, you know, but and not only did I fall in love with it and platinum it, I fell in love with it and came back to platinum with it. You know, I'm usually, that's the thing where I put down a game, like, I'll get back to this. I'm going to go play something else. And you never ever double back. Mm-hmm. I actually did double back to The Division and had a better time doing that when I came in because I liked the changes they had made. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting that I think that in the same way, you know, DC Universe Online, I'm always like, is the only MMO I've ever played. It's the only one that really got me. There's going to be these games that I think, yeah, like Friday 13th is a great one now, where I hate competitive multiplayer. But the way Friday 13th does it is like, oh, okay, this actually is cool and fun.
I mean, for me, Anthem, just seeing that trailer or seeing the gameplay of it, I was like, man, like, I don't like what they're saying about the type of game this is, but I think I might have to give it a chance because it looks so rad.
It looks totally awesome. Yeah, Anthem looks really rad. I can't wait to get into that one. Final thing from the NPD that I find interesting, and this is, again, still from IGN. While hardware spending was up 7%, overall spending was down 11% compared to May 2016. But again,
totally
I think
makes sense with the Switch and with all, you know, the big games that came out last year in May.
Now, Tim, we're going to get into a PlayStation Rock Block here.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have interesting news, and then we have just more boneheaded news. But the first one we're going to start with is the big boy Sean Layden, all right? Sean Layden got interviewed by The Telegraph over there in the UK, right? And basically was talking about what's going to happen with these 2018 games. I'll read you the article, the part of the article now from The Telegraph. Of course, go over there, give them the click, read the rest. The second most common criticism of Sony's conference was the lack of titles on show with 2017 release dates. The Uncharted spinoff, Lost Legacy, and Horizon Zero Dawn expansion aside, everything was set to release next year. Bizarrely, one of the few major titles Sony is releasing between now and Christmas, Racing Sim GT Sport, didn't even make the cut. Now we're getting to quotes. Quote, to be honest, we're already halfway through 2017 late encounters. And he has a point. It's been an unusually front-loaded year for Sony thanks to the successful spring releases like Horizon Zero Dawn and Nioh. Now this is doubling back to NPD. I'm surprised when we're talking about the best-selling games of 2017, Wildlands, For Honor, Breath of the Wild. I would think Horizon, if you would have asked me if Horizon's a bigger deal than For Honor, I'd give you it's cross-platform, so there's more. Yeah. It just,
I mean, it's cross-platform and including PC as well.
Yeah. Them dorks. Kidding. Kevin, I swear to God, stop cutting around so much. Take a break. Take a breath. No? He's shaking his head. No, he's going to keep going. Back to the quote. And that's the nature of game development. No, I feel the lineup we have coming into the holidays this year, and GT will launch this fall. I don't know if you got to go to the pre-show, hands-on event for media. Well, GT was heavily represented there on the floor. We think there is a lot of attention around that title from our company. And the stuff coming in 2018, all of that is coming in the first half of the year. So, is it in the next 12 to 13 months? Most likely. So there's a lot of so's in there that I would have cut out that don't make any sense. But all of the stuff coming in 2018, all of that is coming in the first half of the year. So Spider-Man, he's basically saying
he did say 12 to 13 months. So I think there's some weird fiscal stuff going on. So I think he's giving himself at least to July.
That's, I still count that as
just
the first
saying,
half of
just
the year.
Just saying, I know that technically it's a little beyond.
Sure. But that's what's fascinating. So anything that they put out that said 2018 at the end, which was Spider-Man, which was God of War, which was Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes.
He's saying all three of those games coming in the first half of the year.
Yep. So the things that did not have that were Days Gone, Detroit.
Now, a lot of people called this out. This is, you know, making the rounds, obviously, with our subreddit and stuff like that. They were talking about the fact that yesterday on Kind of Funny Games Daily, we read the story from GameSpot/GiantBomb where David Cage was like, Detroit 2018 is coming there. I don't think he's counting that. I think from what Sean was talking about in this.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just being clear. Yeah, I don't think he was talking about what's going to
what was
go
shown at the showcase.
Do you believe him?
I mean, I absolutely believe him. To me, what he's saying here, I don't believe it's actually going to happen. I believe.
Oh, you believe he thinks
this
he
is the plan?
Okay.
Yeah. No. Because I feel like on him adding all the so's and him saying like there's whatever the exact quote is of him saying that the 12 to 13 months like
and
that,
the stuff coming in 2018, all of that is coming in the first half of the year. So, is it in the next 12 to 13 months? Most likely.
So to me, that says that's the plan and that is what they're operating on.
Okay.
And I think that this entire story is easy to kind of look at and be like, oh, that totally makes sense. Sony have seen that they don't need the big exclusives
of course.
In the fall season.
Of course.
They can kind of rely on the third parties to fill in the gaps there and sell the consoles and then have really strong first quarters of the year. This year, they destroyed it with Nioh, Nier, and Horizon. And looking forward to this, it's like, man, that would be a very solid lineup to do it again.
My problem would be how do you see all this shaking out, right? I think I would say immediately in that first half, January to March is where I'm putting God of War.
I think, I think very early. I think God of War would be first.
100%. So
taking a step back to finish the point that I wanted to say,
my fault,
Horizon got delayed, you know, Uncharted got delayed.
Right.
I think that they're understanding that they need to just get ahead of it. And I think that all these games, if these were games were announced at E3 a couple years ago, they would have had 2017 dates.
Gotcha.
And they would have got delayed.
Gotcha.
So I think this is just them being real, having a real plan of what's actually going to happen. And who knows? Things definitely could get delayed and pushed to fall, but there's still a lot there.
So I'm looking at this. My predictions would be this. If we're going to believe him, and I believe him for God of War, Spider-Man seems further along than we definitely thought it was.
Yeah.
I as far as I can throw this fucking table, this is how far I trust anybody with Shadow of the Colossus. But God of War, that first part, January to March, somewhere in there. Probably February, but I'm going to give it a window, January to March.
God of War has a history of releasing in March.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really mean anything.
Then Spider-Man, I would say, is June.
Mm-hmm.
I think Spider-Man takes that slot of The Last of Us. And if you remember, The Last of Us hit right as we were trying to go to
E3.
Yeah.
I can see June or July.
Okay.
For Spider-Man.
See, I think they found success with, hey, here's an established developer in Naughty Dog. Here's a new IP. Launch it in June. Right as kids are leaving school. They haven't gotten into the blah, blah, blah. They can do this shit. And I think they'll follow that Insomniac Spider-Man June. That's where I think they'll put that.
I think that's right. I think that it'll end up needing a little extra time, though.
Yeah.
I think it'll be like Shadow of the Colossus, or not Shadow of the Colossus, Last Guardian, where it's like, here's the release date, and then it gets pushed a little bit
couple
back.
Weeks.
Last year, it was a little over a month last time, but
gotcha.
I think it was like mid-October to early
similar
December.
What happened with Uncharted 4 too.
But where they, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I expect that with Spider-Man. But yeah, I think June will be the plan.
What do you think for Shadow?
So all of this is interesting. I mean, let's take a step back from this GT Sport. He's reiterating that it's this year.
Yeah, they keep saying fall. Yeah,
and it sounds like they're committing to that. So
I'm sure they're committed, all right. But yeah, I'll tell you what, the GT team is not good with deadlines.
Exactly. So that's interesting. But then, yeah, when it comes to these three, I think that God of War is obviously first.
My thing with Shadow is I think there'll be radio silence on Shadow. There'll be a PlayStation blog post in the spring. You know what I mean? Where people are like, oh, maybe it's coming out in April and maybe that's the plan, but then something will happen and it won't, and we won't hear about it again until
August or something.
And this is just because I have a vote of no confidence. You know what I mean? Or I would say, of these games, Shadow of the Colossus is the one I could definitely see that we're talking about a year from now. I think it's finally coming out.
I think Shadow of the Colossus is the biggest wild card where it totally could come out in February and be done, because it is just a remake. It's like with Blue Point working on it, they have a great history.
They haven't missed their
release dates ever, so that I know of. It's not that big of a project, and especially now that they have so much experience with Last Guardian on PlayStation 4, I feel like those teams working together on this, it could actually work. I don't think this is going to be a Last Guardian situation.
In the Shu interview with me, I asked about the controls. He's like, oh, there'll be some changes. How drastic do you think they'll be, like,
I think it's going to be drastic.
Drastic?
Yeah. Good. I think it's going to be improved.
Good.
I think that's the point. I think they're going to try to modernize it as much as possible in terms of controls. I think they'll add the extra colossi that were not in the original that have been rumored for a long time. Okay. So I think that'll be in there. But yeah, I mean, this is another example of it's going to be kind of like the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, where it is a remaster and remake in the same thing from the ground up, it's a new unique thing. But I think Sony's going to find a lot of success with that, because remastering is one thing, but really remaking and improving on the original while still staying true to the original vision is, I think, the best foot forward and is going to please a lot of people. And I think that Shadow of Colossus has a great chance to find success with people like you that it didn't before, if they do this right. I think that it could come earlier than we expect. Didn't expect to see it announced.
100%,
didn't expect a 2018 release date. Didn't expect Blue Point to be involved. There's a lot of things. Didn't expect Sean Layden to say first half. Like, there's a lot here that I'm like, they know what they're doing. And there will be mistakes made, and there will be delays, but I believe them.
Okay. Let's jump to the next story. This is from the mouth of Jim Ryan, who apparently can never do an interview again. Because, of course, this is the one we talked about yesterday.
We said that before.
Huh? Yeah, we've been saying it for a while. Yeah. Jim Ryan's been saying interesting things for a while. Yesterday, he was a big part of the show. But today, it's coming from gamesindustry.biz interview. I'm going to read you their question, his entire response, but I'll let you know it's the last sentence that sounds, not good. So gamesindustry.biz says, and one of the things you didn't really show were indie games. You didn't really show any last year either. Now, clearly, indie games are coming to the PlayStation 4 all the time, so why aren't you showing them anymore? Jim Ryan says, one of the things we have realized is that these video collages of 10 indie games shown in a minute is almost meaningless. Nobody can really learn anything about the games in that sort of time. It's almost viewed as a waste of time. So far, okay. I agree with you. These montages where it's just a name and a logo and some colorful thing going on, I'm like, it might look interesting and I want to get more info, but we'll get back to that. There was a time and place in the early stages of the life of PS4 to make statements. It was more about making a statement that we were serious about the indies and that we were doing this and that with the indies. No Man's Sky and so on and so forth, which broke out from that and carved its own niche. You know, right now we have tons of indie content on the platform, and the fact that we elected, along with many other things such as Gran Turismo and Playlink, not to give it its own spot on the stage this week, in no way means it is not important, or it is not there, or we don't worry about it. It was just good to talk about it in 2013/2014. It is less relevant now. We have VR to talk about now, for example. It's less relevant now. I understand everything he just said. I understand. The internet this morning kind of ran away with the quote, right? Where he calls indies, you know, less relevant or whatever. That's not what he's saying, but it is something I would tell him never to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The devil's advocate response to this, because obviously there is a side that we would all fall on, which is, dude, don't say that. That's stupid. The devil's advocate to it is, I mean, he's being real. Like, this is kind of behind the curtain of the Sony PR in a way that you don't normally see, because it's all by the books and it's what they want you to hear and see. So for him to be honest and be like, I mean, we're not showing the indies because we needed that before. We don't need to focus on that now. And also in the deeper quotes of it, he brings up No Man's Sky. And obviously they got burned by that in a lot of ways. So I can see them trying to distance themselves from the indies thing. Now, turning off the devil's advocate, going back to what I think, I disagree with him saying that the indie montages don't mean anything. I think they don't mean anything when they're done wrong. I think PSX last year was a perfect example of them doing it wrong, where it is just a bunch of gameplay and we never saw titles. We never saw logos. Mm-hmm. So how are we supposed to know what the games we're looking at? And granted, when it's only 3 seconds of colors, you don't really know what's going on. But I would argue that in the world we live in now, the people that are interested, the hardcore PlayStation guys, are going to look at that and they're going to scrub second by second through that and decide what indie games they're looking forward to. And they are going to find the title and they are going to YouTube search if there's more information on it. And I know that because I did that when Xbox did it this time with their indie kind of trailer they showed at E3, where I frame by frame went through and I was like, this game looks cool, this game looks cool.
The thing about it, right, where he's talking, nobody can learn anything about the games in that sort of time. It's almost viewed as a waste of time. I agree that it's impossible to learn what is this game, you know what I mean? But there for every one of those montages, there's going to be, hey, that did look interesting, I want to know more about it. Or, oh, there's an article on IGN or somebody about that of like, oh, hey, there is this thing. The problem here, the core of why the fuck would you say that, what I'd be asking him, on top of, you know, the whole thing with crossplay for all of these games and we're trying to protect the kids. For today, why I'd be like, why the fuck would you say that is the fact that this, you can make the devil's advocate argument, but what it also sounds like is totally burning the bridge of the one who got you there. You know what I mean? Indies got PlayStation 4 where they are right now because PlayStation 4 got to come out and say, we are about the gamer in that February event. We are here for the gamers. Here are all these games we're working on. We're bringing all these indies. Their E3 conferences, with the exception of the last two, did have Adam and Gio coming out and being like, let us tell you about these indies. We're making this indie, well, the content, da 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 da. And I think that to come out and say it's almost viewed as a waste of time, it's less relevant now, sticks in the craw of the indies who maybe did bet on you, maybe did sign an exclusive deal to put you there first. Granted, there's an install base, but when Sony is taking content, GT Sport included, the game, I can't remember the one, It's Your Face, it's Your Time Now or whatever, all these indie, the Playtime games, all these indie things, and putting them into the pre-show for E3, and in my opinion, not properly promoting that. Because I know you said, we had a conversation about this where you're like, oh, I heard it was going to have announcements in it. I missed that. And I feel like if I'm missing it, that's trouble. Because I felt like we would have done a pre-show for their pre-show if I knew there was going to be a bunch of games announced. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're doing...
Everyone else did.
Huh?
Everyone else did.
Why did you say something when we played the show?
I don't know, because that's the type of thing where it's like, I feel like that if they're not going to focus on it that way, we don't need to either. Like, I feel like us doing reactions to the E3 showcase is a very different thing than we're not going to do reactions to the entire Nintendo Treehouse. Like,
sure,
they made announcements throughout the week, but it's different. Like, the showcase is an edited, planned event that I feel like they are presenting their information in a certain way. And I get what you're saying about it being a mistake of Gran Turismo being talked about in the pre-show. I think it was a great thing. I think that shows how confident they are in that. But it was a 2017 and release that they're sticking to. And I'm going to fall back on, we are the minority that watch the events live and that actually care about all this stuff. The majority of people in the world don't pay attention at all. The majority of gamers in the world are going to just watch it later on YouTube, watch highlights, watch all this stuff, or go on IGN and look at the blog roll. And I think that separating the content out in a bunch of different ways, it is going to keep Sony relevant. It's going to keep Microsoft relevant. It's going to keep Nintendo relevant across a week that is dominated by noise.
So I think we're starting to talk about two different things. So I want to get back on track to the indies here. Is the fact that, I think you're right in terms of making Sony relevant. Let's do this and have this. And like eventually, IGN is clearly going to eventually talk about the new Hot Shots Golf. Mm-hmm. Everybody golfs. They're going to talk, they're going to talk about GT. They're going to do all that stuff. To this here again, what I think's kind of flipping these guys off is the fact that he's saying to PlayStation it's a waste of time to show this montage, but that montage did always lead to an article on IGN that was the 10 here indie the games 10 they games. Showed there. Yeah. So not to get that space, you're now, as an indie, already fighting it's E3 as whoever trying to fight. I mean, think about Moss. Moss mm-hmm. is a great example, right, of a game that got 2 minutes during the PlayStation VR rundown and did actually get a ton of people like, what was that mouse game? And then all of these articles I did see on, I want to say IGN, Polygon, GameSpot, of like Kotaku, like that mouse, here's them, us, we did a let's play of it, right? Yep. Like that mouse game you saw is actually cool. It is actually cute.
One of our games of the show.
Exactly. So to come out and be like, indies are less relevant, waste of time. It's just,
well, Moss was a VR game.
True. But I think it's indie too, because Polyarch. Anyways, we're getting off track. It is this thing of, it's just tone deaf messaging. It's the wrong thing to say to the people who got you here.
100%.
It is the worry that is PlayStation starting to turn back into the PlayStation of PS3, mm-hmm. where they have too much hubris. They aren't scared of anybody. You'll pay $599 for this next console.
Yeah, no, I really hope not. I mean, when we still have things like PSX, I think PSX this year is going to be really interesting because they have different tactics. They've learned from the last couple of years with the release calendar, and their showcase has changed at E3. How it is delivered has changed. Them having a pre-show, like, there's different things happening, and I wonder if at PSX this year it is going to be bringing back the indies. If there is going to be,
I mean, that's what it was last year, right? Gio on stage talking about games and talking about the Vita, and it was, I mean, that's why I love PSX, because PSX is the conference aimed at us. Yeah. And I think you could easily say that here, though. You know what I mean? If I'm Jim Ryan, I can sit there and be like, the audience for E3 is similar, but very different than the audience at PSX.
Yep.
If we tell you at PSX this indie is available right now, people go and buy it. People care. Yeah. We bring indies together to show you stuff.
But even then, I feel like last year at PSX, it kind of got away from the indies. I think that it was more about games being localized. Mm. So, which I know kind of falls into a similar category, because it's like the third party relationships and stuff like that, and like partnerships.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like that was where we saw that trailer of a bunch of stuff and didn't get any names, and that isn't fun at all. Like, that's, there's no way you can glean information from that.
But remember, that was part of that was a problem on their presentation side. They talked about at the actual PSX conference.
Oh,
there was that middle peer. There were pillars that showed the names. No, don't get me wrong. Still inexcusable for the millions watching at home to be like, what are any of these games?
Exactly. So like that's a problem, and I think that there's something to be learned about this. And I think that he is wrong for saying all this, but I think that he's right in that just showing a bunch of stuff, throwing a bunch of shit, is not going to help anybody.
Yeah.
I liked Microsoft's approach 2 years ago at E3, the one where they showed Cuphead for the first time at E3, where and Below and all those games. And we're still talking about them, but we're still talking about them. Those are games that we're excited about. Those are indies that they were like, we are featuring these because they matter. And I think Moss is another example of that. I would much rather them pinpoint ones that they truly believe in
100%.
And show me a bit more instead of just throwing them all. And Xbox did it this year, where it's throw it all in there. And there was a bunch of cool looking games, but it's when they really are like, these are the ones that you should be focusing on, that I think that we care because they care.
That's a great point. This goes back to all the stores now having too many games on them. You can't keep up with them. To sit in there and have, hey, this is approved by us. Like, we believe in this enough to give an E3 demo or a PSX demo on stage, and like actually give you a reason to care about that. That matters, right? Mm-hmm. That goes further than you think it would.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it's like you're definitely putting your foot in your mouth with that type of stuff. And especially when you're representing a company as big as PlayStation, you got to be careful with what you say and how it's going to come off, because this comes off as insulting to your consumers, your customers, and that's never where you want to be.
100%. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be a part of the show, of course, by going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like Andrew Butcher did. He says, with Phil Spencer and Xbox being very gamer-friendly in recent years with the backwards compatibility, crossplay, and Games Pass, it seems that it's not moving the needle in their favor. Why do you think Xbox is having a hard time catching up to PlayStation? I thought this played into this thing, right? Yeah. Of like, PlayStation is making the wrong, it's hitting the wrong notes right now. The no crossplay thing, it's like, why would you do that? And we talked about it yesterday, after signing an Xbox Live. I understand it from a business decision. They're less relevant now. I understand it from a business decision. But they're starting to talk and sound like the PlayStation that was the PS3 PlayStation. They're not sounding like the PlayStation 4 that was, how do we share games? Here's Adam Boys giving it to Shuhei Yoshida. Here's Shu coming out and celebrating with the crowd. Like, they're starting to sound different, but Xbox isn't making up the ground.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I agree with him that that Xbox is making the right moves by doing these very gamer-friendly things. And it's not moving the needle, I think, in a major way, but it's definitely turning the tide in terms of conversation about Xbox. And I feel like a couple of years ago, when the Xbox One was such a sore subject, where it's just like, oh man, they totally marketed it wrong. They put this thing out, they put
TV,
it out
TV,
to
TV,
die,
TV, Call of Duty, Call of Duty.
And I feel like now it's like the backwards compatibility was like the announcement of the show for us a couple of years ago at E3. And to see them keep adding to it and to add Xbox, original Xbox One games to it, it's like they're committing to it and there obviously is an audience for it. And recently there was that article they were talking about, like who old games are old, who wants this? And that was from Sony, right?
Yeah.
Saying this, but it's like, I feel like that's a easy thing to say when you don't have it.
I think the answer here, right, for Andrew is like, why are they having a hard time catching PlayStation? Is I feel like the announcements Xbox is making are making the hardcore Xbox fan base happy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's what we talked about leaving the Xbox conference when we were talking. It's like, I think Scorpio is again, or whatever, Xbox One X was mishandled in terms of marketing, in terms of how you presented that. I would not have teased that a year out. I wouldn't have done all that stuff. But most importantly, it didn't convince me to buy it. There was nothing there saying this is why you have to buy it. However, if you are all in on the Xbox community, if you're all in this stuff, you're super stoked that, hey, backwards compatibility now involves original Xbox. Hey, there is this upgrade thing if you do have a 4K TV and you do want this. But and then for like smaller parts of the community, like I'm excited for State of Decay 2. I'll play Crackdown, sure. Yeah. But they're not leaving these conferences with people going, holy shit, I have to buy an Xbox.
Yeah, and I think that the easy answer is exclusive games, but I feel like that is the answer. I think when it comes down to it, what you're saying is totally right, where Sony is giving people reason to buy a PlayStation over an Xbox, whereas the Xbox announcements are just doubling down on, hey, we care about our Xbox supporters, which is great. You do kind of need both. And I feel like no one ever gets it quite
right.
On both accounts. And I feel like that's a good thing at the end of the day, because it pushes and keeps
competition keeps everything fresh.
But at the same time, it's like then you see guys like Nintendo who are just kind of there, and it's like, yeah, Nintendo's not doing a great job of selling non-Nintendo fans on the Switch. Granted, there's a lot of Nintendo fans out there. There's a lot of lapsed Nintendo fans that they are bringing back.
Sure.
But they're never going to get the hardcore gamers to buy stuff without third-party support, and that's not who they are. That is who Xbox is. I feel like Xbox is entirely decided by its third-party lineup, and they dominated in the Xbox 360 era because of their online infrastructure and the third, like shooters being as huge as they were then. They still are.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Sony really doubling down and like having this lineup of exclusives, it just keeps people coming back and gives people a reason to be excited for the Death Stranding years from now, but also for the Spider-Man next year, but also for the, you know, GT Sport this year.
I feel like Xbox is in a lose-lose situation in the way that I feel like there's no way the Xbox One will ever catch up to PlayStation 4. However, I also feel it's too early for them to pull the ripcord and make Xbox 2.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then now you're going to be this console that in 4 years, three years, whenever Sony's going to do their next thing, will now be again underwhelming in terms of power. I think that Xbox has to, and this is kind of, I mean, they would never message it this way, but it's kind of what they're saying is the fact that we've lost the Xbox One race. If you're an Xbox fan, we're going to keep you here. We're going to keep you happy. We're going to give you the things you want. We're going to give you backwards compatibility. We're going to give you Xbox original Xbox games. We're going to give you this option for 4K. They're giving you, if you're in that community, everything you could possibly want, but they can't jump yet and say, now we're getting everybody else. Which also, when we're like, where are the exclusives? You have to start to ask yourself, are they waiting for Xbox 2? Are they starting in on Halo? I almost put it on the thing today. There was a thing of like Halo 6 you're not going to see for a while, when you know they're going to make a big deal when it's happened. You'll know what's going to happen. But is that the kind of thing you then start sitting there and tapping your fingers like, well, how much better could it look in 2 years on this hardware and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. I think it's important to note that Xbox isn't losing
100%,
and I, because that's the thing, is like, for the
dead,
I feel like this is one of the first generations where it's not like, oh man, these guys are there's a loser in the race, right? Like last generation there was the Wii U. This Xbox is doing great.
Yeah,
it's just PlayStation's doing amazing.
Astronomically better.
And I feel like losing the race and losing the war, it almost doesn't matter. Like, yeah, everyone wants to be number one, and that does help. And as a business, there's that. But it's just competition there. It's like when the business is still thriving and when systems are still selling, which they are month after month, and when games are still selling, you're in a good place. So I think that this is, we're making this sound a lot more dire than it actually is. And I think that them committing to their fan base is a good thing because they're in a good place.
I agree that don't get me wrong. I think that they're doing a lot right. We like Phil Spencer. I like Aaron Greenberg. I like what they're building over there. I have my Xbox One and I'm totally happy for the exclusives I have. I want to go out and buy one, but again, I haven't gone out to buy a PlayStation 4 Pro. That's just not something that tickles my fancy. You're right that we're making it sound too dire, but it is that thing is that it has been a race forever. And like yesterday when I mentioned it offhandedly, the fact that like there was a thing I think from Phil Spencer being like, oh, you know, like console wars are bad for everybody. Like, you know what I mean? Well, like when you're losing, of course, you know what I mean? But I understand that. I understand the messaging. I'm more worried. I mean, the most worrisome thing coming out of this now is how all of a sudden Sony's feeling like they're going back towards old Sony, where they say all the wrong things.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I also think that's a situation that while that is dire, I think this is the strongest Sony we've ever seen.
100%.
So business decisions need to be made. And in order for things to be a certain way, there's a lot that needs to happen. And I've never been more happy with Sony's output. So if we have to deal with a couple guys saying weird shit every once in a while and like not exactly telling us what we want to hear, I'm okay with that when we get Horizon.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And if these games that we're talking about, Spider-Man, God of War, Shadow Colossus, they live up to the hype. Death Stranding, Last of Us 2, it's like, all right, guys.
Pat upon. Everybody's golf.
Crash Bandicoot. Yeah.
Have you thought about what a great fucking summer it is right now?
Yeah. What a great spring.
It was
a
great
summer.
Now literally the summer is chock full of games I want to play.
Yeah.
Whether it be I want to try Crash. I want to see how they did with that. Mm-hmm. But more importantly for me, Patapon, everybody's golf.
Yep. Sonic Mania in August.
Oh, we're about to mention it, but Next Machina out right now or whatever. Speaking of, do you want to know what came out today?
What came out today, Greg?
Let me tell you, by looking at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every day. Whoa. See, that's how you do a jingle, Kev.
It's pretty jingly.
I like every. I love you, Kevin. Out today, everybody, and this is across every platform, but as you may or may not know, I covered PlayStation for a decade, so I kind of need help. You can go, of course, to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Tell me where I should be getting different games. I cobbled it together today. Of course, that lazy ass Ryan Clements didn't even put up a drop because of E3, so I had to go. This is a weird one. So when we did, you know, for years we've done the list on Beyond of what's coming out today. Then PS I Love You, we did the list. When PS I Love You left, the community picked up and started assembling and doing themselves. Trevor Starkey started doing his own thing where he would read the drop. Today, because there was no drop on the PlayStation blog for me to do, I had to go to Trevor's video, which was inspired by our old show where we invented the list based on the drop. And then I had to go look at what Trevor did to build it for the new show that's in...
Art imitates life.
Exactly. And then I got bumped around. Then I went around. Anyways, today, out on the Switch, Cave Story Plus.
Okay.
Over on PlayStation 4, Cryptarch.
Cave Story, a game I totally missed out on.
Yeah.
Despite its many, many, many re-releases.
I've heard a lot of good things, and I've never played it myself. Maybe now's the time to jump in?
Maybe.
Probably not. Cryptarch on PlayStation 4.
Hold on. You're just going to jump over Chess Ultra, the PS4 VR game?
Well, here's the thing. Let's kick up our heels for a second.
Do you think I can be in VR as the chess master there? Can I touch his beard? Do you think?
Do you want me to answer this question? Because here's the thing. On this thing, Trevor had, of course, like the drop would have games that are coming out but not coming out today. We now have a daily show. So do I read something from that's going to go up on PSN tomorrow? I should do it tomorrow, right, instead of today.
You're making sense. Like.
That's why I boxed him up.
That was a little preview of the remix.
Now, what I will tell you about Chess Ultra is a PlayStation 4 game. It's a PlayStation VR game. It's coming out tomorrow. Go to the PlayStation blog after the show and look at the Chess Ultra thing there, because hats off to the Chess Ultra people. Their trailer, they're like the best looking chess game of all time. Like they go over the top and it actually looks really good. All the things are super like high definition and detailed chess pieces. I'm like, I don't know how to play chess, but...
Is more the power dude there, though? The wizard?
No, I didn't see Chess Master. There was a piece with a beard on it. Does that work? Because like a king, you know, you got,
oh, okay.
Like when you king a checker? Is that when how you play?
King the checker.
Cryptarch, Dead by Daylight. Dead by Daylight is out on PlayStation 4, digital and retail. This, of course, the game that's a lot like Friday the 13th, but people loved it on PC, and people, when every time I talk about how much I love Friday the 13th, have you played Dead by Day?
It's awesome.
I played it at Let's Play Live or whatever. Yeah. It seemed like fun there, but I'm so invested in Friday the 13th, I can't stop probably. But I have a code now. I'm going to try it out eventually, maybe. Final Fantasy 14 Stormblood comes to PlayStation 4, digital retail, and on PC. God Wars Future Past comes to PlayStation 4 and Vita, digital and retail. Micro Machines World Series comes to PlayStation 4, digital and retail.
Yeah,
I looked at the trophies. They looked like they weren't easy. I was like, damn it, this seems like a missed opportunity. MXGP3 comes to PlayStation 4, digital and retail, along with Xbox One. I assume digital and retail. Well, Xbox games go up tomorrow, though, right? This is another thing we got to get used to. I'm going to do the Xbox downloads tomorrow.
That's on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Nintendo's on Thursday.
Yeah. Except for today when Cave Story's coming out. Who knows? Lily, Child of Geos, comes to PlayStation 4 digitally. And then, yes, Next Machina comes to PlayStation 4 digital and PC.
Is that retail for Cave Story? Maybe that's why.
Smart. That would make more sense than, I was trying to figure that out. I forget about that, the digital and retail thing. We got a lot to figure out with the show as we expand the list. Because now we can't just take Ryan Clements' homework. That was the best part. And Xbox does it, but they do theirs tomorrow, so it's all very confusing. Next Machina, Tim.
Yes.
I played it last night.
Ooh, what'd you think about it?
Basil C. wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and said... Well, first shot, he says Basil C. and says, no, it's not pronounced like the herb.
Basil?
Basil. Like Basil? Like Basil. In Austin Powers.
Yes.
Basil C. said, hey, Greg, just wanted to hear your thoughts on Next Machina since it's dropping today. Have you had a chance to play it? And if so, what are your impressions? P.S. Keep up the awesome work. The first episode of the Kind of Funny Games Daily was great. Played it last night.
Yeah.
It's Housemarque. It's a twin stick shooter. It runs really well. It didn't crash. I have 2,000 friends. It didn't crash and
okay, good.
Not work.
Congrats, Housemarque.
Played it. It's difficult. We had done plays before. I played through the first world last night. I'm going to be back for more. A lot of fun. Beautiful game. Fun twin stick stuff. I enjoy the multiple difficulties, having different objectives or whatever. I jumped into that medium last night, so I had 99 continues. But then the one above it is like you have 10 continues. And I burned through 10 continues pretty fast.
Pretty quick.
But it's like
arcade goodness. Using Jarvis.
Exactly. It's Jarvis working with Housemarque, and it is what you'd expect from Housemarque. You know what I mean? It is that fast, arcadey gameplay.
It's meant to sit there.
You're meant to sit there and play through all the worlds and then come back and see what your high score was, save all the humans. They're using that voxel effects, that from PlayStation 4 that first time when they dropped all those triangles in that demo.
Yeah.
That shit's happening left and right. There's, secret humans to find, secret areas to access. It was really, really good. It is really, really good. I mean, I expect nothing less from Housemarque. Want to get back to it. Enjoy it.
Out now. Right?
Out now. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, you said that. You lost me. I'm throwing this in there because
I'm a fan. Okay.
I don't know how we want to handle it, in the upcoming software and all this stuff. Friday the 13th has a free DLC today, which is very exciting to me. You get 13,000 CP, which is one of the ones you spend on, your outfits, your kills, all that different stuff. You get a free retro Jason that looks like the neon one from the NES version. There's new music from Mitch Murderer. There's two new counselor skins. And then, most importantly, this weekend is double XP weekend for the first time, June 23rd through the 25th. Now, that is important because on Friday, after Kind of Funny Games Daily, I'm going to stream here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, play with the kids, the subs. Joey Noel's setting that up. She'll have information soon on her social media as well as twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids. And we will talk more Friday the 13th, believe it or not, coming up. So I can say with that. But
cool.
I still love this Friday the 13th. I can't stop. Can't stop loving it.
I still haven't played it.
You're a monster.
We should do a party mode.
We should do a party mode, but Andy's very lazy.
Andy is very lazy. He works...
Never.
Only maybe, I don't know, like 13, 14, 18 hours a day.
Such a coward.
Yeah.
When we first pitched the show, we talked about maybe doing deals of the day. Mm. If we saw something that...
piqued our interest.
And that's what you say. Over on the PSN, there is a big Konami sale. Right now, you can get Metal Gear Solid 5 for $23. I think that's the definitive edition overall, everything. You can get just the Phantom Pain for $10.
$10.
Most importantly, you can get the HD collection, including Peace Walker, for $10 as well over on PSN. So I highly recommend doing all that.
But that's on PlayStation 3.
Right. But you can still play it there. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. No. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not on PS4.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I'm just all of these fantastic deals.
Yeah.
All those great games.
Yeah.
HD collection not having a MGS4. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, maybe now they're I don't even know if they have the balls to go out and make another HD collection.
I don't know, man. The definitive legacy collection. I feel like it's time.
Yeah.
Like all bullshit aside, like I think it sucks that Metal Gear Solid 4 is stuck on the PS3 forever.
That's a good point.
Never been re-released, never been anywhere else.
One day. Time. It'll happen, I'm sure. When Konami needs more money and they just want to keep pissing everybody off. Because we played Metal Gear Survive.
Pissed me off. Let me tell you what.
That was just hearing someone else say Metal Gear and talk about it. I was like, I don't like this at all. I don't like this at all. And then the gameplay was just like, whatever. There's a whole Gamescast stuff about this you can check out, though. I'm ready for some reader mail, Tim Tam?
Yes.
I'm going to start with one right up your alley.
Right up my alley. Thank
Chris
you
S. wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, along with your bad PSN names, things you want on the show, stuff like that, and says, why did Nintendo appear to have such a big win at E3? From their announcements, the Switch seems like a Wii U again, with only first-party, Zelda, Mario, Yoshi, etc., and old ports, Rocket League, Skyrim, and stripped-down third-party, FIFA. Like MS presentation, it doesn't excite me to get one where I don't travel and I don't feel compelled to track one down.
I think that from the outside, not being a Nintendo fan, that's a really easy thing to say. I understand that Nintendo didn't do anything to win over people that aren't Nintendo fans, and I think that's actually okay because they need to win over the people that have left that were there at some point. The Wii U lineup, while at the end of the day it was just a whole bunch of first-party games, it took a long time for all those to start coming out. When it launched, it was just the Mario platformer, new Super Mario Bros. U.
Yeah.
And a solid game, but derivative. And we had seen so many new Super Mario Bros. Games at that point. Then to go on, we got the Pikmin game going on. Eventually down the line, we got Mario Kart, we got Smash Bros. But then there was just like a lot of stuff where it's like we weren't getting Metroid. We never got Pokemon. We didn't get a real sandbox 3D Mario game. And it started to feel like we're just getting the offshoot other versions, and it kept being like, well, next E3 we're going to get Metroid, well, next E3 we're going to get Mario, and eventually it was clear they gave up. And they were just like, all right, cool, we got to get out the 10 millionth Paper Mario, like Color Splash or Paper Jam or Sticker Star, you know, or Sticker Star, all that stuff. And I think that what we're seeing now with the Switch is they're like, all right, we got to get ahead of this, we got to get all of the big guns out, and the biggest guns we got to at least let people know are coming. We now are confirmed to have a mainline Pokemon game and a proper Metroid Prime game coming. And yeah, all we had was an announcement and a title and a logo, and that's nothing. But it's everything because it's confirmation that we're actually going to get the things. Whereas with the Wii U, it was always the question of, are we? And didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I'm one of the biggest defenders when it comes to Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, and Super Mario 3D World because they're fantastic games.
Super Mario 3D World, I loved.
So good. But I wouldn't argue that the Wii U's lineup was too little too late and just too sparse throughout its life cycle, whereas the Switch is just out the gate, go. And the lineup that they have is continuing to do that. And I do worry that they're going to run out of things to put out soon. But coming out of the E3, and in addition to the Pokemon and Metroid announcements, also showing there's a Yoshi game, there's a Kirby game, and obviously Mario Odyssey and Zelda just have, like, they're getting their proper franchises and they're giving them the right treatment. They're treating them like they should be treating them, as opposed to just being like, well, what's something we can kind of do that has the name?
Yeah.
You know? And that's very important. Force. Yeah, exactly. We're not getting a Federation Force. We're not getting the Kirby spin-off games. Like, this is a proper Kirby game. And I think that's great.
For me, like, why didn't Nintendo appear to have such a big win at E3? And I think appear is a good word for it, because I think most people, when we did the topic with Brandon Jones from Easy Ally, we asked the crowd, everybody said Nintendo 2. Appearance-wise, and this goes back to yesterday's show with Andrea, one of the questions was talking about, like, are we spoiled kind of thing. It's the fact that they had things we didn't expect. We're so spoiled in the fact of PlayStation gave you exactly what they gave you last year. More deeper looks at these games, more information on these games. Shadow of the Colossus is your there's an announcement there. But I mean, in the way of like, all right, cool. And then Xbox was, hey, we have this new console. It's really expensive. And here's some, you know, State of Decay, gonna crack down again. And it was, E3 is won by the megatons. E3 is won by the unexpected. Mm-hmm. And so for there to be a Metroid Prime was unexpected. To the fact of like, you're worried about them running out, I don't think you have to, because I think it's a gamble Nintendo takes a lot of times and it doesn't pan out. But this has been a different one where from the get-go of the Nintendo Switch, right, third parties weren't really interested, it seemed, outside of indies and stuff like that. That's great. Usually that's a horrible sign. And I think this was the first time where third party was like, well, prove people want this system. They've proven now, hands down, people want this system. So even if this lineup only gets us through a year from now, I think you could stretch it to another year, because this is going to be, the Switch is going to be impossible to find at Christmas. Everybody's going to want it. It's going to be the hottest toy. That's when the mainstream's really going to talk about it. And when the mainstream talks about it, they're going to talk about the fact that it has Mario and Zelda and Minecraft. And like, it'll have a list of games that sounds impressive, but if you've been here as they trickle out, maybe you haven't thought about it. I think those dollar signs will register in the eyes of companies. I think those dollar signs will continue to register in the eyes of indies, who will keep putting games out there that we for sure love. I don't think you're going to see it go the way, I think Ubi and EA, they all learned important lessons with the Wii of like, all right, cool. Oh, let's cash in and make some shitty ass shovelware. Well, that didn't work out and that wasn't worth it. And the industry is a much different place now than it was 10 years ago. I think you're going to see them come back with projects like I was talking about with like a Valiant Hearts that would work for Switch.
Yeah.
Here's something we'll get in bed with you on and make this work.
I mean, even the Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, right? Where it's like, an interesting way. Yeah. They're trying to do something that is going to actually speak to the audience that has a Nintendo Switch that is still very Ubisoft. So I don't know. I'm excited about all that. Playing it out was fun. And ARMS is fantastic. I'm having a great time with it.
We're talking about that on Gamescast, right?
Gamescast, yeah.
Because I have things to say about ARMS,
Let's save it for that. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I had a good talk with Damon Baker, who's the head of partnerships at Nintendo down at E3. And hearing how excited he is about the Rocket League announcement, and like he was telling me how like they wanted that earlier, but it just took a long time to be able to get everything in line and stuff. And he's just so excited about all the stuff that they have that isn't announced yet on the indie front, on the third party front and all of that. And that's exciting to me that there's more, because they blew their load so early with that Nindy presentation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh man, okay. And to Chris's question, like, yeah, these are just a lot of old ports of games, but I feel like the Switch is a place that people want to play games. Yeah. And that is exciting. And Nintendo needs to do a better job of getting them in the wild. And that's hard when production resources are sparse, when there is... Apple and Google buying all the screens and batteries. Like I was hearing that's a big issue with the Switch development. And so that's hard, and they need to figure that out. Like that's not our problem to solve.
It's the same thing with PlayStation VR, right? Yeah. Where, hey, we didn't think that people would want this as much. So now we've totally stunted and we've stopped marketing until we can get more. And it's like, that's a rough hand to be dealt.
It is. And I mean, but that's why they're still focusing on the 3DS so much, even though we don't want that. Like
we don't want that, Nintendo.
We don't.
Please stop, Mr. Nintendo.
Then, I mean, announcing a new proper 2D Metroid, there's a lot there. I don't know.
I want to give you a quick one here before we get out. Javier Bonier-Riez says, people always pay attention to the big games at E3, but I would like to know what were some of the hidden gems of the show that you think people should be on the lookout for. Wish you all the success with Kinda Funny Games Daily. Greetings from Florida. Thank you, Javier. Did you see anything off the beaten path? I gave you assignments, but we also were sticking to big booth tours and doing different stuff.
Yeah, I didn't get to see too much that wasn't the big stuff that you saw us react to, because it was very back-to-back things. Kev and I wandered by the Xbox booth for a little bit, and we saw that game. Man, I'm blanking on the name right now. The Artful Escape, and it being playable, I was really shocked by. I didn't get to play it, but just seeing it, I was like, okay, this is a real game. So that's good news.
Sure.
This is kind of a cheap answer because it's not really unknown games, and these are pretty mainstream. But I do want to give a shout out to Sonic Mania, Sonic Forces, and Knack 2.
Knack 2 is actually
I
one
played
that like
all three of them
secretly, like it was there and it was on the pre-show or whatever. Maybe it wasn't even, I forget. And then information came out about it, but you played it.
I played Knack 2, $40. And I was like, oh man, they really improved on the first one, which felt horrible. Like I did not like how it played at all. This one, I was like, oh man, like it's fun to control this character. It's still Knack for better or worse.
Sure.
You know, one true God. But going through with it all, like the storyline and the cutscenes, I was like, all right, this is definitely a kid's game. But the co-op, drop in and out co-op at any time, you can just play. And I was having a great time like playing it through with the Sony dude. And it's very like, I feel like they learned and they're like, all right, cool. There's certain elements of Ratchet, certain elements of Crash that are fun.
Yeah.
Let's get them in here. And they did. And I was like, holy crap. Like I played it as a joke and I walked away like, oh man, it's pretty good. And $40, so I'm like, oh, right, that could push it up into the, like, that's a good buy for people.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to Last Day of June. I won't beat you over the head with it. I put up a video during E3 that was my top five games of E3 so far. They were all from Judges Week. They were all smaller titles. Last Day of June is my number one. It's awesome. It's from the guy who did Murasaki Baby. It has no words in it. It's just, it has a Tim Burton, Frankenweenie art style kind of thing going to it. I can't wait for it. If you like Greg Miller crybaby games, this sounds like one, and this one has rewinding time as well. So definitely check out. There's a video up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, which I hope you've subscribed to, because it'd be nice if you did. Tim, I want to give a squad up shout out. Let's remember, go. You can go to YouTube. Nope, you can go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You can go there. Leave your gamer tag, what games you want to play, and we'll shout you out. You get you some friends each and every day. This one, we're going to Jaden. Jaden plays on the Xbox One. His Xbox Live username is LikeABeast7. That's a numeral 7. And he says, dude, why am I answering this? Oh, well, if I have to. I hate talking about myself like this because I ask, you know, like, why should people come be your friend? It makes me sound like I'm an egotistical jerk. Oh, well, here goes. I am fabulous. Kidding. I'm a pretty funny gamer. Looking to play some serious objective-based Battlefield and Star Wars Battlefront on my Xbox One. Hit me up with your gamer tags, guys. That's LikeABeast7. Name is Jaden. Go play some games with them.
Play them games. Squad up. Never roll alone.
This is what we do. Squad up, never roll. Now, I talked about at the end here having a rotating segment. We have a whole list of things we could throw in there. You know what I mean?
That.
It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. It's, you know, the what that first means. One.
It's trophy time. Let's talk about some PlayStation trophies. Now, here's what I did. I went over to ExoPhase. I wanted to see what's been added to it. The game that's been added to it that now piqued my interest, that I'll tell you I'll be playing, is a visual novel on the PlayStation Vita, of course, called Nurse Love Addiction. Nurse Love Addiction. I said, this sounds interesting. I'm sure it's a Japanese visual novel. It is. Okay, great. Clicked over it. It's already been on Steam. The Steam description is, follow Asakura, a ditzy girl training to become a nurse at the Tito Nursing School. Experience the story of her and her classmates as they discover love, medicine, and adulthood. Now, what was interesting, of course, about this is when I clicked over to Steam, it said, you got to be 18 to see this one. I'm like, oh, doctor,
let's go.
Let's see what we got here.
You go click there, on. You put that one, and then 1901.
Whatever. Yeah. I start watching the trailer. I'm like, this all seems just some, it's anime girls. They're in nurse outfits. Whatever. And then they start making out with each other. Then there's a whole bunch of kissing. Then the screenshots are all that too. And then I was like, let's look into the trophies a bit more. There are bronzes for praising them in their bathing suits. So that's a game coming called Nurse Love Addiction. Enjoy that. This is an interesting one. We got one of the messages over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD from Rob. Rob said, Sony just sent out emails regarding Horizon Zero Dawn and included an exclusive theme and avatar for those who platinum the game, which is awesome. I haven't checked the account registered. I got to get this. Would you like to see Sony do this more often to put more value behind the platinum trophy? And if so, are there any bonuses you'd like to see? I for sure would love to see them do this.
Yeah.
This is one of the great missed opportunities of what trophies could be over achievements, over Nintendo's nothing. The fact that they'll send out those, like, you're part of the 001% that has the Bloodborne Platinum Trophy. That's fucking rad. Yes, do that. Yes, I think there should be discounts. Yes, there should be exclusive items. There should be all sorts of cool shit.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think that it should be top level stuff. Like, I like things like themes, I think, are a perfect addition. But yeah, it's very cool. It adds value. It adds sense of community.
Yeah.
I think it's you, and it gives you bragging rights, you know, 100%. Like look at the thing I have. I earned this.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah. They totally should do that. Will they ever? No, they won't.
No,
that ship has left the station and is never, ever coming back.
Yeah. But didn't Bloodborne have something similar?
Yeah. They sent you the email saying that sometimes you'll get random ass emails from PlayStation, like congratulating you on this. But like PlayStation's always had such great ideas that they had the PlayStation Rewards where you went there and it was based on the amount of money you spent. But then I got a t-shirt once out of it. I had
like Club Nintendo
avatars. Yeah. They should do more stuff like that. And then what I wanted to toss in trophy time while we're on trophy time, something I haven't done yet, and that's to say I talk a lot about Friday the 13th.
Yes, you do.
Is the game perfect
three
by
times
no
on this show?
Is the game perfect by no means? Does it deserve a 4.0 out of 10 from that scoundrel Peter Brown, friend of the show over at GameSpot? No, it doesn't, but it's a fun game. However, I have not said this in all my praising of Friday the 13th. The one thing I haven't said, Kevin, give me my one. Hey, Friday the 13th, fuck your trophy list. What the fuck is your problem? I love the game. It's fun to play. Let me run you through some of the bullshit you want me to do. Play 1,000 matches as a counselor. play 1,000 matches as Jason. Now, Tim, you might not know this. You can't choose to be Jason. It's randomly selected in the fucking thing.
You ain't hardcore enough, Greg.
I am hardcore enough.
I don't know.
I fucking goddamn it. This is a game I would love to platinum. Here's another one for you. Kill 1,313 counselors. So, let's just say in a perfect world, I can choose to be Jason, which I can't be. But I get to be Jason somehow. All right, cool. Even unless, whatever, I'm Jason. It's happening. Let's say then, in this 8-player match, so 7 counselors there, I have a perfect game and kill all 7 of the counselors. That would take me 188 perfect games to get that. Come on. Come on. No one has the platinum yet, of course. Yeah. You'd expect
that. This sounds worse than Jason X.
It's just heartbreaking. Because this is what I'm always talking about. Is the fact that great game, could have had a great trophy list, could have been a fun platinum for everybody to get. Now you're ensuring that only people who play this game for months and months, I'll be excited to see who gets it. Is there somebody playing so much Friday the 13th
they're
right
gonna
now?
They're going to get it, and there's going to be a dope-ass theme that they get, and you're going to be jealous.
I will be jealous of that dope-ass thing. Friday the 13th, you're a fun game, and you really fucked up these trophies. Again, I will put it out there. If you ever need help with your trophies, developers, hit me up. I will help you out. Will I charge you? No, I won't. Will I want to brag about it one day? Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. I hope you've enjoyed it. Remember, we're always doing it live, usually around 11:45, over on twitch.tv/kindafunny. No, hold on.
Games.
Sorry. Yes. Thank you. You fill in the gaps here. I'm trying to get up. We still haven't found an easy, simple way to transition into the kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Because we got to see what we got wrong on this episode from our stat boys.
Easy Allies does it in a fun way.
Yeah, well, I don't watch their content, so I don't know.
Corrections music, please. And they play the little music. And
sure. Do they have it? Is it live, too? They do it from the day before. I don't like the day before kind of thing. I like it to be live. You know what I mean? Then we get out of the way. All right, whatever. Remember, if you're not watching live when we record it, that's no big deal. Head over to youtube.com/kindafunnygames, where we post it as a giant podcast. You can also get it on podcast services of your choice. Right now, we're for sure up on iTunes. Please go subscribe there and rate us, even if you don't plan to listen there. If you are one of the Google Play people or one of the other millions of podcast apps I'm not familiar with, we are slowly disseminating the content.
If this show or any of our shows are not on a podcast service that you like to listen to, please tweet at me, at Tim Gettys, and I will try my best to get it on it. A note, Spotify will not let us on their service. So if it's Spotify, I'm sorry. One day, maybe.
All right, I'm looking through what I got wrong here over on kindoffunny.com/you are wrong. We got to figure out a better way to do this. Titan Matrix says, Greg, while you're talking about Injustice 2, you mentioned that Tom Taylor wrote Injustice in now year 2. While Tom Taylor did write Injustice year 2, his current book is just Injustice 2. All right. I hear you, but I understand.
Hey,
for
them corrections.
I know. Get them corrections. Full list of the best-selling games of 2017 states that while Zelda is listed third, it does not include digital sales. So that's important. Thank you very much.
We said that already.
Well, I think that we didn't say it again for that. We didn't drive it home for that point. I did mean May's numbers. Yes. GT support is... No, I'm not. This is... No. Official PlayStation Magazine, apparently, according to... Wet Dirt is saying GT Sports has supposedly been given a November 16th release date. Believe that when I see it. Tim hoped that they would have extra Colossi. There's no extra Colossi in Shadow.
Did they confirm that? Really?
Famitsu says, so the game will have the same content it did on the PlayStation 2 version. Yoshida, who I assume is Shuhei, it's the same, but player preferences for controls and such change over time. So we're working on implementing a more modernized way to play. And of course, you can play with the feel of the original version. But what we're doing is showing how great the original work is using today's technology. Ueda-san wasn't that involved this time around. So I guess they're saying, same thing.
So that's the case. Confirmed early 2018.
There's a whole bunch of Neo Geo crap coming out. You can check that over there. Oh, I Want to Be Human too. Okay.
I mean, that didn't say anything about not having the new.
No, we're just throwing it in
there. I'm just saying. Until it's confirmed. Don't believe it.
And then foxbusiness.com. This is more information on the Switch component shortage. Nintendo company's biggest battle these days isn't against other game makers. It's against companies such as Apple. Blah, blah, blah. The problem is an industry-wide capacity. Yeah. We don't need more information. I just want to know when we fuck it up.
Yeah. I kind of like that, though.
You want me to read the whole rest?
No. You did it. You did a good job.
All right. Thanks.
I like, even if it's not a correction, it just validates because I was a little wishy washy. I was just throwing some stuff out there, but that was just like, no, that was a statement that actually had some juice behind it.
It's the tiny mortars that enable the Switch's hand the controllers. Oh, so that fucking HD fucking rumble. That's fucking it over too.
What it is the batteries.
Mm, Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I had a very long conversation about this.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show. It's not that. It's just Kinda Funny Games Daily. There's a lot of shows now. As I work through these first few episodes, the rigmarole will get better. Don't worry about it. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.